Paul begins our epistle reading today by saying, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths." And I want to focus on just one word in that sentence, the word corrupting. Corrupting is something that makes something else go bad. And so corrupting talk would be the kind of talk that pulls down, the kind of talk that destroys things rather than builds them up. But the Greek word there that Paul uses that we translate as corrupting is the word sapros. And Jesus uses the very same word when he says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit." Sapros in the Sermon on the Mount is translated as diseased. It could also be translated as stale or even rotten. Sapros describes something that has become useless, something that can even become harmful. A rotten apple, after all, is not fit to eat. But as Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, a bad fruit says more about the tree which produced it. And so corrupting talk in this case says more about the state of our soul. And Paul in this reading wants to focus on one particular example, words which are spoken in anger. Which means that he's focusing especially on those times when we disagree with one another for all kinds of reasons. Maybe there is a sin that has torn us apart. Maybe there is a misunderstanding. Or maybe we just aren't getting along for whatever it is. But when that happens, Christians, the temptation is always there to speak sharply, to say something in anger. And anger, as Paul tells us, is always a danger. And it's a danger not just because it's often counterproductive. I mean, as we hear in Proverbs 15, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Anger is also a danger because of what it does to us. Anger eats away at our soul, so that moved by anger, our words become corrupt and rotten. And ultimately, it leads us away from God. I want to look in particular at verse 31 of our reading, where Paul says this, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." And let's consider those things that Paul is talking about here, but I want to consider them in reverse order, to start with the last thing first, and you'll see why in just a little bit. So the last thing that Paul talks about there is malice. Malice is having an ill will towards somebody, wishing evil upon them for whatever reason it may be. And it doesn't take very much for us to see how malice is incompatible with being a Christian. Because how can we hear our Lord's command to love one another and then hate somebody else? The next thing that Paul talks about there is slander, telling lies about someone else, especially to hurt their reputation. But slander is not only deadly because of what it does to the other person. Slander also so easily makes us become hard-hearted, so that we don't want to be reconciled with that other person, and we refuse to see things in their way. And so it leads us to become even more opposed to one another, rather than seeking after unity in God. Next thing that Paul talks about there is clamor, or more simply, yelling, raising our voices in anger. And yes, raising our voices in anger is rarely a helpful thing. But hooting and hollering in an attempt to win our way so often makes us dig in our heels. We refuse to budge and to give in any way, simply because we have been so harsh with one another. The next thing that Paul talks about there is wrath and anger. And they're very similar to each other, and of course the Bible often talks about them together. If there's any difference between them, anger would be something that happens in the moment, like a flash of anger. I suddenly get angry, and wrath would be something over time, that I'm angry for a long period of time. Either way, the danger here is that it can so easily become a habit. We can become cranky all the time and offended at every little thing, so that pretty soon that's the only thing that we feel. And it makes it even harder for us to forgive. But Christians, I've gone through this list backwards for a reason. And now we'll see that reason why. Because the first thing in this list, the last thing that we're talking about, is bitterness. And bitterness is a peculiar temptation for us in this part of the world. Because we in North Dakota, in the upper Midwest, whatever you want to call it, generally do not like open conflict. We do everything that we can to avoid it. People yelling often makes us uncomfortable, and we don't like it when somebody gets in your face. And so we often try so very hard to just get along with each other, to be nice to one another so that we can get along. I mean, that's just who we are. It's part of our nature, and in some ways, that's just fine. But Christians, that does not mean that there is no temptation to anger. Most of the time, we keep it in. In other words, we are prone to bitterness. We don't like to deal with our problems out in the open. And sometimes we'll say nothing, at least to the person that we have a problem with, but we'll talk to other people and complain about it to them. And sometimes we just hold on to our anger without saying anything to anyone. And we let it eat away at us, so that I end up saying good morning to a person I'd rather not talk to at all. Bitterness can lead us to look sideways at one another and even treat our fellow Christians with contempt. Bitterness is a special temptation that we here in North Dakota must always be on guard against. But Christians, the worst thing about bitterness is how easily it leads to the most rotten fruit of all, to be unforgiving, to refuse to be reconciled to one another. And an unforgiving attitude not only eats away at us, it will also kill our soul. Because as Jesus says again in the Sermon on the Mount, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And Christians, I'm not going to soften that up, because Jesus does not soften it up. If we do not forgive, we will not be forgiven. Holding on to bitterness will lead us away from God in the end. As Christians, we are not called to be bitter with one another. We are not called to hold grudges or to be hard-hearted towards each other. But we are called to work through our issues and to be forgiving towards one another, to forgive as we have been forgiven. We are called to work through our issues not in anger, but in a way that builds up the entire body of Christ, so that as one body, we will walk together in God, both now and forever. But what does that look like? Well, Paul goes on to tell us in verse 32, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." Kind there is not just being nice to each other. You could also translate it as being helpful to one another, to be beneficial to each other, to act in a way that helps the other person and builds them up rather than tearing them down. We are called to be tender-hearted or compassionate towards one another, to be moved to sympathize with them so that we have a desire to help them and to fulfill their need, whatever that need may be. But above all, we are called to be forgiving, to desire to be reconciled to one another, to truly resolve our issues, to seek to put away our divisions, and to admit our guilt when we have done wrong. In all of these ways, we will seek after true unity in the Lord. But why should we do this? Paul says in the very end of that verse, "As God in Christ has forgiven you." Because Christians, God was rightly angry with us. Not in our sinful way of anger, but in a divine and holy and righteous anger. God was angry with us because of our sins. And we piled up a debt to God that we could never repay, even if we tried. But he gave his only son to die in our place. Jesus bore the wrath of the Father upon himself so that we would be forgiven. God has put away his righteous anger for all those who believe in his Son. And he is a God who is merciful and gracious, Christians, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. How many times do we see him all throughout the Scriptures forgiving his wayward people, putting away the sins even of the very worst sinners who called on him in repentance and in faith? God has cleared your debt that you owed him through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, Christians, let us show that same forgiveness to one another. Let us show that same love toward one another. Let us be patient with each other. Let us work through our issues, and let us put away all bitterness so that we may be truly one in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, who has forgiven us our sins in Jesus Christ, cleanse our hearts from all bitterness and lead us to seek the good of one another, to the glory of your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.